Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 30, Abortion Informed Consent Information, and recommends adoption of the previous Judiciary Committee substitute. Previous fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senator Green, co-chair, Senators Taylor, Ben Stevens. Signing no recommendations, Senators Wilkin, Hoffman, Bundy. Signing amend, Senator Olson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 216, International Airports Revenue Bonds. Previous fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Wilkin, co-chair, Senator Ben Stevens. Signing no recommendation, Senator Green, co-chair, Senators Taylor, Bundy. Signing do not pass, Senator Hoffman. Signing amend, Senator Olson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill Number 90, Finance, Tax Credit, Salmon Development Utilization, and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Senate Committee substitute. Previous fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senators Hoffman, Ben Stevens, Bundy. Signing no recommendation, Senator Olson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill Number 243, State Affairs, Evaluation of Agency Programs. Previous zero fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Wilkin, co-chair. Signing no recommendation, Senator Green, co-chair, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson, Bundy, Ben Stevens. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 10, Charter School Task Force, and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute. Previous fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Ben Stevens. Signing no recommendation, Senator Bundy. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. I have no further standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
I have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 14 by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee relating to requesting the governor to negotiate a 40-hour workweek with state employees.
Labor and Commerce.
I have no further Senate resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 220 by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. An act relating to a state sales and use tax relating to taxes levied by cities and boroughs, providing authority to the Department of Revenue to enter into the Streamlined Sales and Use Tax Agreement, increasing the motor fuel tax and repealing the special tax rates on blended fuels and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
I have no further Senate bills for introduction.
Brings us down to the daily calendar.
Senate Bill Number 175 by Senator Seekins, an act relating to civil liability for commercial recreational activities and for guest passengers on an aircraft or watercraft and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill and recommended it be replaced with a Labor and Commerce Committee substitute. New zero fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Bundy, Chair, Senator Seekins, Gary Stevens. Signing no recommendation, Senator Prince. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill and recommended it be replaced with a Judiciary Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Seekins, Chair, Senators Terrio, Ogun. There are two committee substitutes.
Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we consider a CS for Senate Bill Number 175, the Judiciary Committee substitute, in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Mr. Minority Leader.
Explanation of the changes, please.
Mr. Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. The bill, if you'll, has been extensively changed from its original bill in that we addressed one of the issues that was in the original bill in other legislation by another member that's already been passed by this body. If you'll notice the title now, it talks about it does not include guest passengers on aircraft or watercraft. It's strictly limited to recreational, inherent risk in sports or recreational activities. You'll also notice in the original bill, the purpose of Section 2 has been replaced with findings and intent. As you step down through the bill, you'll see that several sections were eliminated. The acceptance of the inherent risk was rolled into other language in the bill. Contributory negligence paragraph was eliminated. The responsibilities of participants was rolled into other portions of the bill. As you go farther down, you notice that there was the interaction with other laws was no longer necessary. and was eliminated. Effective violations was eliminated, and then the definition was rolled into section 290. And civil liability for aircraft and watercraft guest passengers, that entire paragraph, the original 112, was eliminated from the bill. I think that pretty much summarizes the changes in this committee substitute as to the original bill.
Is the objection maintained? Without objection, the judiciary CS will be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendment.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered gross, advanced third reading, placed on final passage.
There is objection. Senate Bill 175 will be carried forward to our next calendar.
Senate Bill number 176 by Senator Seekins, an act relating to civil liability for injuries or death resulting from livestock activities. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill. New zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senator Bundy chair, Senator Seekins, Gary Stevens, signing no recommendation, Senator French. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill and recommended it be replaced with a Judiciary Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senator Seekins chair, signing no recommendation, Senators Terrio, Ogun, French, Ellis. There is a Judiciary Committee substitute.
Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary substitute, Committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Judiciary CS will be considered in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered in gross, advanced third reading, placed on final passage.
There is objection. Senate Bill 176 will be rolled forward to our next calendar.
CS for House Bill number 191, Finance amended by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to the Alaska Coastal Management Program and to policies and procedures for consistency reviews and the rendering of consistency determinations under that program, eliminating the Alaska Coastal Policy Council, annulling certain regulations relating to the Alaska Coastal Management Program, and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee considered the bill. Previous zero fiscal note, signing amend, Senator Ogun, chair. Signing do pass, Senators Seekins, Ben Stevens. Signing do not pass, Senators Elton, Lincoln. Signing no recommendation, Senators Wagner, Dyson. There is an amendment number one by Senator Gary Stevens, which has been passed out.
Senator Stevens, Gary Stevens.
I move amendment number one.
There is objection. At this time, Senator Stevens, before you start to discuss, under Mason's Rule 583 sub 2, I would like to wish to temporarily relinquish the chair to Senator Ben Stevens in order to participate in the debate. So if we can have a brief at ease, please.
Order. We have before us amendment number one. Is there debate? Senator Gary Stevens.
Thank you. Amendment number one, dealing with House Bill 191. I have a lot of good things in House Bill 191. The streamlining issue is very important. I do certainly support that. But there are serious concerns I have about the control issues. I do like the idea of maximum local control, and this certainly, I believe, does reduce that local control. The amendment would create a task force that includes legislators and the districts involved. It would be able to identify problems that are faced in this bill. It would help find solutions. It would give us time to do this thing right, and I believe if we do it right, everyone involved would be much more satisfied with the outcome, and we might have a better answer. I think we need to hear what people have to say in the communities and not just push ahead with this. I'm very concerned about the speed of change that's gone on with this bill. People have not had time to look at it carefully, to study it, to understand the full implications of it. A committee process, things move pretty quickly, and CS has appeared without a time for the communities to really receive them. So we find that many communities were not well-informed, and a great deal of frustration occurred because of that. My real question is, why rush through this? Why not delay it until July, and why not slow the process down a little bit? It's a fair solution, and I believe local participation is essential. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe the impact of the amendment would be to take what is suggested to be a two-year process in the piece of legislation and turn it into a three-year process. Right now, in the bill, it is anticipated that we will have a complete year for the development of regulations that the department will then use to evaluate the local enforceable policies by individual coastal districts or municipalities that perform that function. So through that process, which will be a regular regulatory process, the communities will have the ability to make public comment, there'll be public notice, the complete lengthy, somewhat lengthy process that we can sometimes experience through the regulatory process. After that, after the department puts together the standards by which the local enforceable policies will be judged, then we have a whole another year for the districts to submit enforceable policies, local enforceable policies, and move towards adopting new policies that comply with the new state laws and state regulations. So I think what we're looking at already in the bill is a lengthy two-year process that has quite a bit of extensive public input, public notice, response from the departments to allow the local districts to develop their new locally enforceable policies. The standards that the state is going to be developing in the first year is to identify what are the approvable policies, identify what are not approvable policies, and assist in funding, and there will be funding then to assist the local districts as they go through the second year process in rewriting their local enforceable policies. I think the impact of the amendment would also trigger a fiscal note. And of course, the bill came to us with a zero fiscal note and therefore did not go to the Finance Committee. I think the administration has worked fairly extensively with members of the public, with members of the Municipal League. I will grant you that the bill before us is a change to the status quo, and it's generally human nature to resist a change to the status quo. I think, however, that a lot of the concerns that were expressed when the original bill was introduced are what triggered the changes that we see in the CS that's before us now. So I think the process that is established in the bill, again, is a lengthy two-year process to establish the state regs and then a complete year beyond that for the local districts to come up with enforceable local policies that meet the new rules that they get to comment on as they're being drafted. So I think the process is lengthy enough, and adoption of the amendment would just delay it a year beyond that and trigger a fiscal note on a piece of legislation. Thank you.
Do we have continued debate on amendment number one? Senator Guest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just had a question that the previous speaker brought up, if maybe the sponsor of the amendment could answer it. Does this amendment shorten everything to 1 year or just put it off 1 year? It got confusing to me. The senator from Fairbanks was speaking if everything was going to be crunched into a year or if we were just putting off this bill for a year. If someone could answer that, I'd appreciate it.
Senator Gary Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, it would it would extend the process 1 year while this task force works on it and hopefully improves it. That's basically what the bill would do, or what the amendment would do, is to extend it for 1 year.
Senator Terrio, on the question?
Yes, just to clarify, right now the bill puts into place a two-year process. Adoption of the amendment would delay that, so it would effectively trigger a three-year process.
Is there further debate on amendment number one? We'll stand at ease.
Will the Senate come back to order? Senator Ogun.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in opposition to the amendment. With all due respect to my good friend from that represents Southern Kenai Peninsula and Kodiak, we heard this bill a total of four times in the Senate Resources Committee, three times as a Senate bill and once as a bill from the other body. And I would just wanted to say that there was a number of concerns that were raised during the three hearings on the bill that was from this body, and many of those issues were addressed. I think there's been a lot of accommodation of local government concerns that were addressed in the bill. Just want to point out that we're down here struggling with our fiscal situation, and I think this is one of the most important bills we can pass this year unamended. I'm kind of getting in the debate on the bill, so I won't stray there. But I rise in opposition to the amendment because I believe that it would slow the process down, and we don't have time to slow it down. Our fiscal situation is critical. I'm voting for some things I never dreamed I would vote for. Other issues, because it's so important to develop our resources as quickly as possible. And so I, with all due respect, a task force would simply slow this process down and possibly hurt our bottom line as a state. So please vote against it. Thank you.
Do we have further debate on amendment number one? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall amendment number one pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
One yea, 19 nays.
So by a vote of one yea to 19 nays, amendment number one fails to pass the Senate. Do we have any further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, placed on final passage.
There is objection. House Bill 191 will be carried forward to our next calendar.
CS for Senate Bill number 149, Resources, an act relating to timber, to the sale of timber by the state, and to the management of state forests.
We are in third reading on Senate Bill 149. Do we have debate? Seeing none, the question before the Senate is, shall Senate Bill 149 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Senator Wilken, we're voting. Let's void the roll, please. We void the roll, please. The question before the Senate is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 149, Resources, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Davis. Vote changes from yea to nay. Any other member? Secretary will tally the roll.
12 yeas, 8 nays.
So by a vote of 12 yeas to 8 nays, committee substitute for Senate Bill 149, Resources, has passed the Senate. Mr. Minority Leader.
President, I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 149.
Reconsideration has been given on Senate Bill 149.
House Bill number 11, an act relating to deposits to the Alaska Permanent Fund from mineral lease rentals, royalties, royalty sale proceeds, net profit shares under AS 3805180 F and G, federal mineral revenue sharing payments received by the state from mineral leases, and bonuses received by the state from mineral leases, and limiting deposits from those sources to the 25% required under Article 9, Section 15, Constitution of the State of Alaska, and providing for an effective date.
We are in third reading. Senator Taylor.
Unanimous consent to return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, that being amendment number one.
Without objection, we will return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment. Senator Taylor.
I move the amendment.
Senator Taylor has moved amendment number one. Is there objection? There is objection. Senator Taylor.
Yes, to the amendment. Basically, what this amendment accomplishes, it sets a $20 limitation on any reduction that might occur because of the passage of this legislation in the permanent dividend check, permanent fund dividend check. The best numbers that we have available are that through passage of this legislation, the diminishment in value of the check would not exceed $10, and that's over the next, I think, 7 or 8 years. I mean, it's like a dollar this year, and it might be $2 next. But just to be assured, because of my consistent history in this body of fighting to defend this fund and to make deposits to this fund, but just to be able and comfortable with the fact that I can be assured that should this ever have the significant effect of up to $20 diminishment in the check, should that ever occur, then literally this law would be repealed that we are passing here today. This law would be thrown out, so to speak, should it ever have that much effect. I do not believe that it will ever have that much effect, because the calculations that we have run so far indicate that you would probably have to get someplace out beyond the year 2020 for this to occur. And I just don't think that's going to happen. I furthermore believe that the market and the growth that is going to occur within the fund as the American economy rebounds are all going to have much more impact upon the fund than anything that we're passing here today would do. And it's with this amendment that I can support this legislation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Elton.
Thanks, Mr. President. For the maker of the amendment, a question. The amendment inserts a new section, that being section number 2, speaks to appropriation to the fund money received by the state as Alaska Marine Highway System Program receipts, and then talks about Dingham Sands, and then the public school trust fund. And I wonder if the maker of the amendment could give us a few details on that section and the need for that section and the net effect of that language.
Senator Taylor.
Well, I'll try. What has to happen is a restatement of existing law, which that is, then a statement putting in the word or to, which kicks in the triggering mechanism. If you get to, if you pass the law and the 25% that would have flowed into the fund now flows into general revenue. If, in fact, that shift ever causes the check be diminished by more than $20, then existing law comes back into place as the new law is thrown out. And that's the reason for that provision. It's a trigger that causes an event to occur. And this is the way we've had significant debate over the last two or three years between departments of revenue, our legal drafting people, which did a great job for us, and some of the things pointed out by Department of Revenue has caused this language to shift a bit. But that's the reason it's worded in the fashion that it is.
Are there further questions on amendment number one? Seeing none, question before the body is, shall amendment number one pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary would tally the roll.
17 yeas, 3 nays.
So by a vote of 17 yeas, 3 nays, amendment number 1 has passed the Senate. Takes us back into third reading. Do we have debate under third reading? It's Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to explain the three reasons I'll be voting no on House Bill 11. The sponsors of the bill and the supporters of the bill today are essentially proposing that a significant change in the permanent fund be the first resort and not a last resort. I object to that. Reason number 2, no plan. A piecemeal approach in which we can't assess relative fairness and relative impacts on the state and on our people doesn't seem the way to go. So this doesn't come with an overarching fiscal plan or approach to the state's budget problem. So for that reason, I object. And third, Mr. President, the people in the state, after the last set of political campaigns all across the state, believe that any significant changes to the operation of the permanent fund deserve a vote of the public to pass judgment on those proposed changes. So for those three reasons, you all using this as a first resort and not a last resort, no overall fiscal plan, and no vote of the people, those are the three poison pills for me that prevent me from supporting this legislation today. I think it's ill-advised at this time and would recommend folks rethink their position on the other side. I'd ask the majority to reconsider not tampering with the permanent fund without a vote of the people. Don't do it without a fiscal plan, and don't do it, for goodness sake, as a first resort. The permanent fund, any changes should be done in consultation with the public and as a last resort.
Do we have further debate Senator Wagner.
Brief at ease, please.
Brief at ease. Do we have any further debate in third reading? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. President. In response to some of the earlier points made about this piece of legislation, I think most notably, Mr. President, there's only a few members of the body that were present when the statute was changed to increase the deposit from the constitutional requirement of 25% of royalties to 50% of royalties. And while many of us were not members of the body that are voting on the legislation on the statute changes, most of us were residents of the state of Alaska, and I don't recall a vote of the people that was required to change the increase in the deposit from the constitutionally mandated 25% to the existing 50% on those fields that were brought into production after 1980. This is an action that the legislature took, and at that time it probably was a prudent action when there was oil royalty flowing beyond most people's wildest dreams at that time. But the reality is that is not what's going on now. This piece of legislation takes us back to the constitutional requirement of 25%. It is a part of a plan, and the plan is to continue the existence of the CBR until the more overarching plan, which is to increase production and increase royalty revenue to the state. I say, Mr. President, a no vote on this bill is saying let's spend the CBR as fast as we can. Let's not be prudent with the money that we have available. And let's just ignore fiscal restraint and efficient management of the resources that we know we have at before us. So, Mr. President, I encourage the passage of this legislation, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have any further debate? Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Minority Leader used the words significant change in the dividend program. I think that was it. Significant change in the permanent. He used the word significant change. And I, too, had that same concern. So I took my pencil, and I just said to myself, well, what sort of change? What are we talking about here in dollars? I ran just a spreadsheet. These are my numbers. Nobody's validated these, but this gives me comfort in the vote. I said, well, what's the change in 2035, given four assumptions? I assume that every year our deposits to the permanent fund would be increased $50 million every year for the next through 2035. I assume that the relationship between the 50% fields and the 25% fields would remain as it is today, about 1-7. I assume that the monies that we're foregoing, which is the earnings on the additional 25%, would earn at the historical rate of 8.4%. And I assume that we would have an increase in permanent fund filers of 0.5% a year. So the results of those four assumptions, which I would submit are very, very conservative and the worst case scenario, in 2010, the effect of our actions today will amount in a $12.42 reduction. In 2020, it'll amount to a $19.86 in today's dollars, by the way, and in 2035, $29.61. So in the next generation, we're talking about a $20 effect upon the permanent fund dividend check that we receive as a result of this legislation. I would submit, Mr. President, this is not a significant change in any account. Thank you.
Do we have further debate? Seeing none, the question before the Senate is, shall House Bill 11, amended Senate, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
11 yeas, 9 nays.
So by a vote of 11 yeas to 9 nays, House Bill 11, amended Senate, has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the effective date clause.
The effective date clause has been moved. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
12 12 yeas, 8 nays.
So by a vote of 12 yeas, 8 nays, the effective date clause has failed to pass the Senate.
CS for House Bill number 105, Finance, an act relating to loans to satisfy past due federal tax obligations of commercial fishermen and to the Commercial Fishing Loan Program.
We are in third reading. Do we have debate on House Bill 105? Seeing none, question before the body is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 105, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
19 yeas, 1 nay.
So by a vote of 19 yeas, 1 nay, committee substitute for House Bill 105, Finance, has passed the Senate. Senator Hoffman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be listed as a cross-sponsor on House Bill 105.
Senator Hoffman has asked for permission to be shown as cross-sponsor on House Bill 105. Any other senators? Senator Lincoln, Dyson, Taylor, and Olson. Next item.
Senate CS for CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 184, Labor and Commerce, an act relating to individual deferred annuities and providing for an effective date.
We are in third reading. Do we have debate? Senator French.
President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purposes of offering this specific amendment. Amendment number one.
Without objection, we will go back to second reading. Senator French.
President, I would move amendment number one and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? There is objection. Would you explain the amendment, please?
Mr. President, amendment number one basically makes certain that consumers are protected by regulation just as much as they're protected by the statute and the body of the bill we are considering today. The idea behind the bill was to make certain that consumers would get somewhere between 1% and 3% under a forfeiture of their annuity contract. And if you look at the bill closely, you'll see at the very end, the last section of the bill allows regulation to provide further adjustments to the calculation of that minimum non-forfeiture amount. And it's possible, under declining interest rates, to get to a place where the director could decide that the right thing to do to protect the insurance company is to lower the interest rate below 1%. The body of the bill makes certain that it's a 1% to 3% range. And so what we're doing by this amendment is just putting that 1% guarantee into the regulation so that there's no misunderstanding between the statute and the regulations that may get adopted in the future. It's a fairly innocuous amendment, and the idea is just to keep the risk where it belongs with the sophisticated, established insurance companies that are underwriting and writing these annuity contracts.
Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. As the member who will carry this bill in third reading, I checked this amendment with the original sponsor, with the experts, read through it myself, and I believe it was a good catch by the senator from Anchorage. It's good public policy. It's consistent with the rest of the bill, and I'd recommend a yes vote.
Is the objection to the amendment maintained? Without objection, amendment number one will be adopted. That returns us to third reading. Do we have debate in third reading? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 104, Labor and Commerce amended Senate, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Senator Seekins. You need to vote, sir.
I'm sorry, I thought I did.
Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Ogden.
I'm afraid we should void the roll because there was discussion and people standing up and doing stuff during the vote.
I don't believe there was any discussion. I just reminded the senator he needed to push the button. Secretary will void the roll. Question before the body is, shall Senate committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 104, Labor and Commerce, amended Senate, passed the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary would tally the roll.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So by vote of 20 yeas, 0 nays, House Bill 104 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Ask unanimous consent to vote on final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the vote on final passage will be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
House Bill number 203, an act relating to the definitions of net income and unrestricted net income for purposes of calculating the dividends to be paid to the state by the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and providing for an effective date.
We are in third reading. Do we have debate on House Bill 203? Senator French.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purposes of offering a specific amendment, amendment number one.
Without objection, we will return to second reading. Senator French.
Mr. President, I would move amendment number one.
There is objection.
Mr. President, amendment number one would keep a glimmer of hope alive for the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation, as it appears that fund is going to be drained into the general fund this year and it's spent on general operations of government. The Alaska Science and Technology Fund's purpose, its mission, and its function still remains alive. That is, we need to have some mechanism by which the government can maintain some role in the development of new technologies, of new economies in this state. And this modest amendment would do just that. We would maintain a small appropriation every year from the dividend from ADA into the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation. It would give us a little bit of seed money back into that futuristic technology foundation that we've maintained for so long. I think that our previous actions in draining that money were wrong-headed. I think that the Science and Technology Foundation is exactly the kind of thing we need to be doing to move beyond a resource extraction state, the kind of thing that my 14-year-old son, who's at Roaming Junior High, will someday look to when he becomes a working member of Alaska's society. There's thousands of other kids in schools across the state. They'll all need something to do when they graduate and start to take up jobs. And moving this into logistics, into aeronautics, into information technology, into science is the way to go, Mr. Speaker. And so for that reason, I've offered this amendment. For that reason, I'm going to be encouraging the yes vote, and I hope the rest of the members will join me. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Senator Bundy.
Thank you. I rise to oppose the amendment. To carry on the previous discussion, there are thousands of people all across Alaska that need various services from the general fund. If we support this amendment, we divert a potential dividend from the general fund that will serve all Alaskans.
Is there further debate on amendment number one? Senator Guess.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of amendment number one. It's been the testimony in committee that ADA plans, part of draining ASTF, people said, well, ADA can do the role of ASTF. All this amendment does is make sure that ADA does play a role in ASTF, and we're stating what that role should be. I don't think it's inappropriate. I don't think it's diverting anything. It's keeping the word of the testimony in committee and statute. Thank you.
Any further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall amendment number one pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
8 yeas, 12 nays.
So by a vote of 8 yeas, 12 nays, amendment number one fails to pass the Senate. Brings us back to third reading. Do we have debate on House Bill 203 and third reading? Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've been asked to carry the bill. House Bill 203 produces a comprehensive dividend formula that provides a more consistent and stable, predictable business environment for ADA, for the financial community in general, and for the state of Alaska. This amended ADA dividend policy is sound financial practice and good fiscal policy. Under the current statutes, there'd be no ADA income available for a dividend in fiscal year 2004 as a result of impaired losses recognized on the Healy Clean Coal Project and the Alaska Seafood International. Still, ADA has $789 million in unrestricted net assets and $356 million of unrestricted cash and investment from which a dividend could be paid. The dividend formula proposed in this bill would make between $9 and $18 million of this money available for a dividend to the state in fiscal year 2004. This bill modifies the definition of net income and unrestricted net income to exclude impaired losses in calculating a dividend to the state. This also excluded, it joins other current exclusions that are intergovernmental transfers, capital contributions, and or grants. This does not hinder ADA's operation or validity to financial projects. This, however, as I say, provide a dividend to the state and encourage a yes vote.
Is there further debate in third reading? Senator Taylor.
Just briefly, because ADA did recognize those losses, and because we have arbitrarily made decisions over the last few years to withdraw a dividend, we're going to withdraw, I think, $103 million total this year from ADA. And is that right, or was I? Pardon? I'm sorry. I'm thinking Alaska Housing.
Senator Taylor, we need to be careful not to get into a conversation.
Sorry, I wasn't sure of that number, and I thank my colleagues for correcting me on it. The main concern is to make certain that ADA has a stable development policy in the future. This is needed legislation, and I think it's very important for us to do it.
Thank you. Do we have any additional debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall House Bill 203 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, tally the roll.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
And by a vote of 20 yeas to 0 nays, House Bill 203 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask consent to vote on final passage reconsider the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the vote on final passage will be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Mr. Minority Leader.
President, I serve notice for reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 203.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 203. Senator Wagner.
Mr. President, I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 11.
Notice of reconsideration on House Bill 11 has been given. That completes the daily calendar. That brings us down to unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business to come before the body? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I bring up reconsideration of House Bill 81.
House Bill 81 is brought up on reconsideration.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 81, State Affairs, an act relating to motor vehicle emissions and to inspection decals and fines relating to motor vehicle emissions and providing for an effective date.
We are back in third reading under reconsideration. Do we have debate? Seeing none, question before the body is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 81, State Affairs, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
19 yeas, 1 nay.
By a vote of 19 yeas, 1 nay, committee substitute for House Bill 81, State Affairs, has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent vote on final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the vote on final passage will be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Any other unfinished business? Mr. Minority Leader.
Please.
Brief at ease. Order, please. Do we have any other unfinished business? Senator Guess.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to cross-sponsor HB 1, an act relating to stalking and to violating a protective order and amending Rules 4 and 65, Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure, and Rule 9, Alaska Rules of Administration.
Senator Guest is asking unanimous consent to cross-sponsor the bill, along with Senators French, Dyson, Gary Stevens, Wagner, Seekins, Lincoln. It looks like that's it. Any other unfinished business? Brings us down to announcements. Senator Wilkin.
Three announcements.
tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Immediately following that meeting, as you know, Mr. President, there's about $50 million this year and $25 million next year coming from the federal government for fisheries disaster mitigation funds. And the Senate Finance thought it was important that that we learn about that and where, how it's going to be distributed this year and next. We're going to have a presentation by former Senator Alan Osterman on that so that the body is informed of those monies and how they'll be distributed across our state. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Seeing none, brings us down to special orders. Do we have special orders today? Senator Olson.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the special privilege to speak on No More Sunset.
Without objection, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. As we have turned into this day, and although the weather outside is less than sunset, we've been talking about some of the sunset clauses and whatever else. I'd just like to announce that after today, Barrow has seen its last sunrise. There will be no more sunsets in Barrow until early August. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Do we have any other special orders? Senator Ogden.
Thank you. Move and ask unanimous consent. Give a special order on a previous subject and more.
Without objection, go ahead.
After the winners they go through, they deserve it. On the more, Mr. President, I think it's time that we seriously consider an issue, and that would be the hold harmless of the permanent fund. 9 years ago, when I entered the legislature, I debated a gentleman that I ran against, and I said, you know, I think we should do away with the hold harmless clause of the permanent fund. I think we should give people a choice, Mr. President. We should give them a choice of either being on welfare or getting the permanent fund, but not both. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other special orders? Seeing none, Mr. Majority Leader.
11 a.m.
on Tuesday.